लाइट कैमरा
रोलिंग
एक्शन।
वेलकम टू माय पॉडकास्ट लेट्स टॉक अबाउट वर्टिकल्स, अ प्लेस वेयर सीक्रेट्स आर स्पिल्ड, स्टोरीज अनफोल्ड एंड द मिस्टीरियस वर्ल्ड ऑफ वर्टिकल्स इज रिवील्ड इन ऑल इट्स ग्लोरी। Behind the scenes? Oh yes. Exclusive insights? Absolutely. Eccentric characters? You bet. So, pull up a chair, pour yourself something suspiciously strong, and prepare for a conversation you didn't know you needed. So, welcome to the podcast Let's Talk About Verticals. And now, let's talk. Hello and welcome to my podcast, Let's Talk About Verticals. Today, I have an actress. She lived once in a jungle in a vertical, and then she got married and had twin. And let me think where else I saw her. I don't know. Yeah, what it was exactly. I have to ask her again what type of role she did. But I'm very happy to have her. And I say good morning to LA and good morning to Alyssa. Hey, you're welcome to my podcast.
Hi, nice to meet you. So excited to be here.
So, as I said, I saw you in the jungle with Gabe. I also recorded already with Gabe. He was such a lovely guy. Yeah. So, I saw you with Gabe in the jungle or in the city out of the jungle that way.
A little bit of both.
And I saw you with, was it Jackson? Yeah, Jackson Tiller.
Yes, yes, yes.
And twins, right?
Yes, the twins that we worked with. Yeah, they were so cute. I loved working with them.
So what else? You lived in the jungle. You had twins. What else did you have? Did you ever do a werewolf or vampire one like that?
Yes, I have. I've actually only been a villain for those. I think, I don't know, maybe it's something about my face or my hair. I don't know. But yes, I've done a couple of werewolf ones. And I think just one vampire one, but I've been a villain in all of them. I think most of them have been for Playlet that I've done. I think there was Alpha and Coma, which I think was TJ and Lawson. I was the lead villain in that one, I think was probably the one that did the best.
Yeah. You know, I'm so bad in the title. I've watched more than 1,500 verticals since I started. Don't ask me about the title. I know a bit about the poster and maybe with the leads and kind of storyline, but these titles, you know.
Oh, they also change. That's kind of the biggest thing with verticals that I've noticed is we'll get a title whenever we're offered the role. And then the title will change throughout the filming process. And then it always changes right before the project comes out on the platform.
Yeah. And now at the moment, it's also Drama Box and stuff or buying up some older shows, which were exclusive, for example, on Drama. And then they change the title again.
Yeah.
When they publish it at their platform as new. But it's not new. It's just from another platform. So yeah, so you have been always the villain in the werewolf and the vampire ones, but in the, let's say, normal ones I saw you, no, you were lovely. What's that?
Yeah, it's always so interesting and fun to be able to play both. I think it's nice to be able to switch between the villain. Obviously, you're being really awful, but you tend to get to stretch your acting a little bit more. They tend to be a little bit more of a comedic character just because they're going so big with their evilness. But in terms of other leads, I've also, I think my favorite vertical that I did was a Western. I worked with Jennings Brower, and it was on Viglu, I think. It might still be on Viglu, I'm not sure, to play like a New York City girl that turned Western over time.
But it was, but you, did you do another one with Jennings Brower where he was a firefighter?
Yes, I've actually done two with him where he's a firefighter. The other one hasn't been released yet, but yes, I did one where he was, he's my savior from a fire.
So do you know what the title was of this Western one?
The Western one was the Runaway. Hold on, the cow billionaire cowboy's runaway bride. Yes, that was what.
Oh.
Also,
You know,
wrong
in
title.
most of the titles, there's always revenge or heiress or billionaire or CEO or pregnant.
Yes, always.
So that's why I cannot memorize all the titles because it's always the same one. I just have to check if I, but I'm sure I've watched it. The
Yeah.
billionaire cow. That was the poster where you're sitting in a wedding dress and he's sitting just with a cowboy hat and shirtless. What a
Yes,
stupid poster, sorry, but oh. Yeah,
I
I saw
love it.
this
Yeah,
one.
I remember filming that. That was we were filming the wedding scene that day and we had to break for lunch soon, but we were like, "Oh my gosh, we have to get the poster." So Jennings and I quickly changed and it was a really fun picture shoot. We shot it in like the third story of this bar. Yeah, that was probably honestly like my favorite vertical that I've worked on. It was just such a fun storyline, and I've worked with Jennings 3 times now, and I love working with him every time. He's great.
How many verticals have you done so far?
Oh goodness.
Roundabout.
I think somewhere between 20 and 30, probably pushing 30, probably close to 30. I started in 2024 and it was a slow start just because, starting to get into the vertical world, it tends to usually be a lot of auditioning at the beginning with not a lot of traction. And then throughout 2025, there were a ton of different verticals with leads and villains and day players and background and all of that. And then this year, I started up again and yeah, it's been a good time, but probably around 30.
So, how did you get into vertical? I mean, how did you first, did you know what a vertical was at that time when you tried to sneak in this industry? Or did you just go for an audition and didn't know what you got into?
That's exactly what happened. I was submitting on Actors Access, and before verticals became a thing, it was showing up on Actors Access as a web series. So it seemed like, something like iCarly or something that, would just be a blog or on someone's website, but they didn't have a vertical option on Actors Access. So I submitted for it thinking it was just going to be something like a satire or something that was very over the top. And they didn't even ask for a tape, like an audition tape from me. It was this specific company's, I think, their first or second vertical. So they were just casting actors solely based off of their reels. And my reel outside of the vertical world, a lot of what I do is horror or psychological thriller based. So there was a lot of videos of me screaming or me pointing a gun at someone, all the things that feed very well into a villain in the vertical world. So I submitted for the lead, but they ended up responding to me and asking me if I could play the villain instead. And I got to set the first day, not knowing what to expect. But for me, since I had recently graduated college at that point when I first started verticals, it was the first set where there was someone there to do your hair and makeup for you, where there was someone there to help you with costuming and have extra pieces of jewelry if you didn't have what they were looking for, and a full team of camera operators and grips and sound and everything. So it was such a magical experience to walk on that set for the first time and just see how professional everyone was, and how insane the shots looked. It was very like odd for me to see the camera, tilted vertical. But it was such a wonderful experience. And so I had no idea walking in what a vertical was until the day that I started filming.
Do you know what your first vertical was?
Ooh, I'm trying to remember because I know they changed the name. Oh, okay. I think it was. Hold on. I know I have it written down. I think I try to write down all of the verticals that I'm in. Playlet. I know it was for Playlet. Oh, okay. It was called OMG, She Came Back as the Billionaire Heiress.
And here we go, billionaire and heiress just in the
Yep.
title.
Exactly. And then
Okay.
I remember it was Teresa that I was working with was the lead. Josh, I'm trying to remember his last name. I don't remember, but Josh was the lead. It was a fun time though. I had a blast.
Did you back in school acting stuff, or how did you connect to the acting? I mean, did you have a dream job as a child, or was it always being an actor, or what was it?
Ooh, that's a good question. I think when I was really little, I latched on to what my parents did. My parents had me when they were really young, so I ended up being an only child just because I was already a surprise to begin with. And my mom is a high school English teacher, and my dad works in the restaurant industry. So when I was really little, I kept alternating between wanting to be a teacher and wanting to be a chef.
Ooh.
And I think I was just really latching on to both of my parents there. But
So can you cook?
I can, yes. My dad taught me how to cook from a really young age. Do
Oh,
you like
that's
to cook?
great.
I love
I
talking about
published a
recipes.
cookbook.
Oh my God, you did? That's so cool. Is it
Yeah.
like specific,
You
like
know, it was a bit crazy. As I said,
recipes?
I was studying business informatics, lady. And
Yeah.
I did a lot of international IT projects. And then, you know, my life is like a vertical. I needed a so-called urgent brain surgery. And then I got memory loss after this brain surgery. And my whole life was resetted.
Yeah.
And first, after this memory loss, I started to cook. And I think I was not so bad because here in Germany, we have different cook shows on TV, and I was
Yeah.
invited a few times to come over to cook for two star chefs in these cooking shows.
Wow.
And the challenge was 15 minutes before the shoot, you saw the ingredients, and then you had to create in 40 minutes a three, what is it called in English, three part menu for the chefs.
Yeah. Oh my
And that was
goodness.
a challenge. And I love
Yeah.
challenges, you know? So
Yeah.
I started to cook there and wasn't reinvited. I think I did four or five cooking shows in TV. And the thing, because you had to improvise so much in the shows, after the shows, I got so many messages. What was the recipe? How did you do it? And I said, I don't know. I had to improvise because really, I cannot believe it. And then in one cooking show, you had to cook with a teammate, and my teammate died because of breast cancer 2 or 3 years after we did that show. And we always spoke about, yeah, we will publish our recipes because they were so crazy, and we won a lot of money with that. With my
Yeah.
first money prize from the cooking show, I bought my older dog who recently died. He was the money prize of my first TV cooking show. And then when she died, I thought, yeah, now I have to do this cookbook because I have to do it for her. And then, as you know, in the families, the grandmas had always some special family tradition recipes and nowhere written, all in the head. And my grandma was one of that. She passed away a few years ago, and she always told me, "Yeah, Michaela, you have to do a little bit of that, a little bit of that, and then it tastes good." And it tastes always the same. And she couldn't give me any proper recipe. And then I said, "Okay, now I will do a cookbook, and I will try to recreate all the recipes for my grandma that they will be written down."
Yeah.
And then I will make a chapter with all the TV show recipes I did. So my cookbook has a chapter with the TV show recipes, and it's called Michaela's Kitchen Stories. It's also with the BTS, you know, how it was to do this cooking show, how it
Yeah.
was on set, how it was while we were shooting it with the adrenaline and stuff. And so it's more about, it's not just a recipe book, it's with pictures and stuff from the BTS. And I had, until COVID hit, every Monday in my place a Waffle Monday. So, because I
Oh,
love waffles, and
yeah,
I have
waffles
a
are
big
delicious.
1,000 square feet garden here, and I love to harvest my own vegetables and stuff. As you can see in the background, these are the
Oh yeah, I
tomato
didn't
plants,
see.
the
That's so
tomato plants
cute.
I'm actually for this summer. So I created waffle recipes, not only sweet waffles, also spicy waffles and tomato mozzarella waffles and what else, caprese waffles. So,
Yeah.
and every Monday, seven people visit me and we did the waffle Monday and eat together waffles. And I created special chutneys out of the stuff I harvested in my garden. And so and a lot of people ask me, what's the recipe for this waffle? And I said, I don't know, I improvised. I went to my garden and checked what is good. And then I said, okay, now if I will write down all these improvised recipes of my life, that's enough to do a book. So I did this book
Absolutely.
with the TV show recipes, with the family traditional recipes, a chapter with waffle recipes, and there is a chapter of my personal favorites because my mom is from Austria and she has some really soul food kitchen there. Total simple in cooking, but the taste is so good. So I decided to make one chapter my personal favorites of eating. It doesn't have to be super fancy. And then there is one chapter with desserts because I normally better in baking than in cooking. So,
Oh, wow,
and
nice.
everyone said, what, you're doing a cookbook? I'm still waiting for the baking book. And I said, yeah, I have to do now this cookbook first. And so I did that and published that. And I did all of the recipe pictures and stuff all by myself because I wanted
Wow.
to have it authentic, you know. I don't
Yeah.
like this food stylist stuff. So, yeah, that's now. I'm translating it actually into English because a lot of people ask me. Three books are already in the US, but in German, because a good friend of mine, she is lives in Alabama and is German teacher at the university there. So she is confirmed with
Oh,
German.
cool.
And
Yeah.
she got a book in German, but I'm now translating it to English. And the next book I will publish is a Christmas bakery book.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh my
Yeah,
goodness.
because
Yeah, I would love to see the books. I would love to buy one of them just to see. I love cooking and baking, but I'm less talented at what you were talking about, like just kind of coming up with something on the spot, improvising. I'm usually a recipe follower, and then over time I'll add different ingredients that I like,
yeah,
but
no, I'm totally the
yeah.
freestyler. For me, it was so hard to do this book because, you know, I was so, yeah, a bit of that, but oh shit, how much was it? Ah, for me, that was totally hard
Teaspoon,
to, yeah,
yes.
I improvised a bit too much, but that was for these TV shows. That was so good, you know? I was so easy peasy. Yeah, no problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, that tastes good. I love great taste of food and I love to do new, you know, combinations of tastes. That's why I'm creating chutneys every
Yeah.
year, because I love to eat chutneys to everything. And in my garden, I have so much stuff in my garden and so many trees, you know. I created a black currant chili chutney. I created a bacon pear chutney. I created everything. It's yeah. In my cellar downstairs, it's full. It's totally full with all stuff.
Oh,
Yeah, but
that's
before
so
I had the
cool.
brain surgery, I didn't cook. It
Oh,
came after
wow.
that. It was here.
That's so beautiful, though, that it like turned into something that's such a big part of your life.
Yeah, and the funny part was when these TV shows were shown in TV, yeah, and my parents watched it, and everyone was saying to my parents, oh, I didn't know that Michaela is so good in cooking. And my dad said, I didn't know either. And I didn't get into this possibility to taste all that. And after these TV shows, my dad came over a few times with my mom and said, today you are cooking for us, not for any two star chefs. We want to have you to cook for us because we never tried your meals. Yeah, that
Oh,
was
that's awesome.
really funny. No, and there
Yeah.
were a lot of newspaper articles, and I even got a proposal from an audience.
Oh my goodness. That's
That was so
wild.
silly, I could tell you. I think maybe he thought, yeah, I'm sure she can cook now, so that's fine. And I got a proposal over Facebook. I saw you on
Over
TV and I,
Facebook. Oh my goodness.
yeah, so silly. Yeah. No, but I can send you over the digital file of my cookbook. Maybe you have to translate it with ChatGPT or stuff because I'm not finished yet. Or you speak German, then you can totally.
I wish I spoke German. It's something I'm trying to learn new languages, but it's kind of like learning an instrument. The older you get, the harder it is.
And
So,
German is really hard, to be honest.
yeah,
It's
absolutely.
difficult with our grammar and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So,
I'm trying to
have
learn Spanish, and Spanish is difficult enough. And there are a lot of, like, I think they're called cognates, words that are similar to your
Yeah.
language. There are a lot of cognates in Spanish, but I feel like in German, there can't be that many.
Have you ever been in Germany?
No, I haven't. I've only traveled outside of the US twice, and it was to Mexico twice.
Okay, so you are open for shooting verticals in China, Europe, world, Canada?
Yes, for the most part, just kind of depending on safety and making sure all that. But yeah, I would love to travel and film in different places.
Yeah, because recently they started shooting verticals in Germany.
Did
So,
they really? That's so
yeah,
cool.
2 hours from my hometown here, there is a production company. I heard that they will also release a new platform and they shoot in German and in English. So
Oh, wow.
I'm sure Germany will hit or enter the vertical international, let's say the international vertical market finally this year because you know the Germans are always so structured and they thought all yeah that's a fling yeah give them 1 year and then it's gone and now they realized oh shit that's a big industry where we can get money out of it so maybe we should start because you know if you have ever the chance to shoot in Turkey or Lithuania do it because the Lithuanian and Turkish shoot verticals are all for drama pops, and the quality is so good in
Oh yeah, I've
storylines, in production, later in the post-production. Never ever we saw a vertical which disappoints us out of drama pops.
Thank you. I'll have to keep an eye out. I know I've had a couple of vertical friends. I can't remember which ones, but I know that at least in the group chats that I've been in, there have
Yeah.
been quite a few people who have gone to Turkey, I
Yeah,
know.
to Istanbul, yeah.
Yeah,
Mostly,
and
I
they had a
think.
wonderful time.
Yeah. And what is recently also, let's say, a bit blowing up in Europe is also Italy. And Great Britain. Danny Farber shot a few also in UK. And as I said, I think and Germany, who told me? Saint Claudio, he's an actor who lives in New York. He said a friend of him was already shooting a vertical in Germany. So I'm sure that the European market is getting a bit bigger this year for shootings, but also you can shoot in Vancouver or Atlanta or and if you have ever also the possibility to shoot for Candy Jar.
Oh my goodness, I love candy jar.
Do it also.
I've been in one candy jar, but I was just a day player. My friend, have you seen, oh goodness, what was it called? It was Broken. It had Lexi Minnatree in it. She's one of my friends from college, and she was the lead, and they needed a girl to come in and like make out with the male lead for a truth or dare game.
You said, yeah,
And she
here
was
I
like,
am.
"No, are you sure?" She's like, "Can you do it? They're looking for someone." And I said, "You know what? Sure, why not?" So that's the only one I've done for Candy Jar. But while I was on that set, my goodness, they were wonderful.
And the
Everyone.
storylines are so good because they are always based on books.
It was such a good storyline, and they filmed it both horizontally and vertically, which was really cool to see.
And
So
it's
you could.
based in Germany, just for your information. Candy Jar is
Is it
based in
really?
Germany.
Oh, that's so cool. Oh my goodness.
For drama pops in Turkey, they shot also a few in horizontal and vertical, and you could switch watching it on the app. That was so good. That was really good. I
I
like
love
that.
that. And it felt like such a professional set working there. Everyone was just so calm, even though they were filming so much in a day. And yeah, it was just such a wonderful experience. And the storyline, I didn't get to read the whole script because I was just coming on for one day, but at least from what my friend told me, she thought it was a very grounded, well-written script, and she had a blast on it as well.
No, every time when you switch on a candy or vertical, the first thing you see is based, this story is based on book, blah, blah, blah.
Oh, cool. That's so
And Candy
wonderful.
Jar is the only app that does that. And Candy Jar is also on the only app which produces serial ones. There are so many verticals on Candy Jar with part one, part two, part three, even part four.
That's so cool. Oh my God, I would love to be in sequels or part threes.
Yeah, it's so good. You know, in Candy Jar, one show is round about, let's say, 45 till 50 episodes. But when there is a part two or part three, and there were a lot of shows with more than one part, the story gets so great depth, and the characters you can be sympathized with the characters even better than it is one show with, let's say, 60 episodes. And I love that. I love it to watch on Candy Jar. And I'm doing with the six big review ladies every month a monthly recap. And we talk also about the crep of the month and the actor of the month, actress of the month, the side role of the month, app of the month, and the crep of the month. And the chemistry of the month. And mostly the app of the month is either Drama Pops, Candy Jar, or lately My Drama. Because these three smaller apps are much more willing to take risks for different storylines, and they produce them so good. Really. So good.
Oh, that's so fun. Yeah, I would absolutely love to work with them eventually. I think I've auditioned for Candy Jar a couple of times. But yeah, any and all of those sound wonderful to work with. Here's to the future.
Yeah, you have to need some goals, you know. So why not 2026? Or maybe shooting in China? What about that?
I've heard both wonderful things and horrible things about filming in China just because the labor laws are different.
Yeah,
But I
they
think if I
work long
found
hour t days.
yeah. But I
Gabe
think if
told
I
me,
found
what is
Oh yeah.
it, 18 hours of what he's working there?
Yeah, that was pretty common, at least from what I've heard from a lot of people that have gone there, 16 to 18 hours, I think. But I think if I found the right production company, the right storyline, I'd totally be open to it.
Yeah, makes sense. What is important for you to do a vertical? I mean, what are okay, let's ask in a different way. What are no-goes for you in a script? Have you ever declined a script?
Yes, I have. I've declined a few. It comes down to, for me, something that I know the story is going to get made regardless. That is something that can be frustrating. There are a lot of scripts that have come out recently that have been extremely violent towards women, towards children. I think I've turned a script down because there was extreme violence of a child, and I didn't want to be a part of that script.
That's good.
I would have been the mom of the child, and I feel like that would have been traumatizing for both me and whoever they got to play the child. And then the only other one I turned down was an XXL storyline where they were going to be getting two different actresses, and I was going to be the same one. I don't feel like that storyline. I hate that
I
storyline.
can tell you how much we spoke about exactly that storyline in our monthly recap, because in my I thought we were done with the storylines with the two different
They
actors and
came
stuff like
back.
that.
There's a lot of
Yeah,
ones.
but lately there was a XXL show on Gamma Time with Volodymyr Pelech, and she was, oh, she it's a new actress. And this was the first, let's say, vertical with the oversized actress, but she was there the whole story. That storyline was so fantastic, and it treated the theme of being oversized with so much respect and so different than this typical XXL storylines. Or I wrote the actress that I was so, and Volodymyr, because I recorded a bit earlier with Volodymyr before it came out, and he said, yeah, I did one. I want to hear your opinion about it. And I was so thankful when I saw this show because it was so different from this typical XXL storyline shit. It was more the thing that she feels comfortable and he was backing her up all the time. There was no bullying, you know? It was all
Oh, that's
about her
wonderful.
inner fight that she was not sure if she's good enough, but he always was backing her up. And I was so respectful for her because there was an intimacy scene where she was shown just in underwear with her oversized. And I wrote her and I said, thank you that you did that, because it's the first intimacy scene I saw where he was making her so comfortable. Because you saw in the scene, she wants to turn the light off, and he turned it always on and said, listen, if it's dark, I cannot see how beautiful you are. You know, such stuff like, and
Yeah, that's
it was
beautiful.
so touching, I can tell you. That was the only XXL I saw that I was really, let's say, comfortable with. But the other
Yeah.
ones, as you told, with the two different actors and stuff, as I said,
It's
I was
just.
hoping that we are done with this shit, but it seems not.
No, I've noticed a resurgence in them, and they've gotten, at least on Actors Access, what the issue was they didn't specify that that's what the vertical was in the sides that they sent, in the synopsis of the project, in the character description. None of that was present. I only
Oh.
found out once I was offered the role and asked for the script and a more in-depth storyline. And it's just my issue with it. I mean, obviously, there's so many issues with it, but to get two different actresses to only be spreading this storyline that you're only beautiful and only worthy of this love if you
That's
look a
it.
certain way. And also, the actress that is oversized would only be filming scenes where they're being intensely bullied or being put down for the way that they look. The whole thing is just really frustrating. And I'm really happy to hear that there is a vertical out there where they handled it beautifully. And it's
Absolutely.
like a great vertical
It
because
was
we need more of those.
so good. Let me tell the title for everyone who haven't watched it yet. The title is The Summer I Turned My Sexiest. It's
Oh, that's
on the
beautiful.
Gamma, on Gamma Time, and as I said, it's with Volodymyr Pelech and Juanita Anderson. These are the leads. And that story was so good. Tef was the first one. It we spoke about in the recap. It was, I think, it nearly all of us said that it was the vertical of the month, and she was also for us the actress of the month because she played so well. She is new. It was her first vertical, and she
Oh,
did it
wow.
so good. She did it so dang good. And as I said, she was shown in underwear, and you saw she felt comfortable because he was backing her up. And that was for me the main story. You know, as you know, in a lot of verticals, in the partnerships, the partners are not equal. Every time he is more dominant and he says to her, do that, do this, no, you're not allowed to do so, and not fighting for each other, it's mostly that he's cheating and this and that, you know. So, and in this storyline, they were so equal. And every time when she felt not comfortable how she's looking, he was every time there and backing her up. And that was so good to see, I can tell you. That was really good.
Absolutely.
I
We need
can,
more of those
yeah,
storylines.
absolutely. And I hope that that the audience realizes that you can treat such a, let's say, difficult theme with so much respect that it's even worthy like a vertical. You know, a lot of the platforms are telling, yeah, we need the shock value. Yeah, we need the violence. No,
Don't.
you don't.
We do not.
Because I started watching verticals in 2023, and the first, let's say, big storyline on Real Short, let's say Breaking the Ice or My Double Life of My Billionaire Husband, they weren't full of such many violation scenes.
Yeah.
And they also hit the market. You know what I mean? So no one can tell me that they need the shock value to keep the audience. No fucking way. We turn, in my, when I'm watching verticals, I turn off mostly, let's say, minimum 10% every month. I don't finish watching because the storyline is so shit.
Yeah. No, it's true. I think the problem, and I'm in a group chat of a bunch of vertical women. There's like over 100 of us in the group chat. And I think
100.
something that, yeah, we like, 'cause the vertical world just keeps growing, but we have the group chat to, you know, discuss the issues, talk about different like things that we're auditioning for. It's just kind of like a safe space for all of us to talk to each other. And something that we've noticed recently is an influx of these storylines that are just so violent or have sexual assault scenes or are just or so violent or d different things that just shouldn't be in verticals. And we think that every time someone even clicks on like a vertical to open it and start watching it, they just count it as you watching the,
They do. They
which is
do.
frustrating because then they
They
just
do.
think that it's a hit, but it's not because they're not watching the whole thing.
Exactly, they do. And that's just the clickbait they are collecting. The smaller platforms, Candy Jar, Drama Pops, you don't see any numbers because they
Yeah.
don't care in the front, you know?
Yeah,
These
they care
are
about
only the
the
bigger platforms, but I can tell you from the audience side, I'm recording also with a lot of audience people because I want to
Yeah.
get this whole. And mostly of them, when they started, they were catched by an ad from Real Short because the marketing team from Real Short does a really great job because
Absolutely.
95% got catched by an advertising on TikTok, Facebook, Instagram from Real Short. So if you ask people what their first membership is, it's mostly Real Short or Drama Box. So my first membership was also from Real Short, but at the time when I hit the vertical market, there haven't been so many platforms there now, you know? So, and then they start with a yearly membership on Real Short, which is, by the way, $230.
Oh
A
my
weekly
goodness.
membership on Real Short is $20 for 1 week.
Oh my goodness, that is
Yeah,
so
watching
expensive.
vertical is really expensive, I can tell you. And you
Yeah.
know, mostly of them are starting with a yearly membership, but Real Short now gets less people to renew their memberships because when you are longer in this business as an audience, you realize the small platforms are having the better shows. They don't
Yeah.
put out so many shows per month, but that thing that they put out, the quality is better than Real Short with all the quantity, for example. And you know, at the beginning, there was, or there haven't been much alternatives to watch verticals than Real Short, Good Short, Drama Box, stuff like that. But now, with more than 200 platforms out there, we are
You have
able to
options,
select.
absolutely.
And
Yeah.
you know, for example, I don't know, did you hear about that they shot two pirate verticals?
No, I didn't, but that's so cool. Oh my goodness.
I spoke to Nick, I spoke to Emma, I spoke to Dylan Vox, the director. I spoke to Amy Kazatsa, she did the whole wardrobe, makeup stuff. And I spoke to Scotty Mullins, he wrote the script.
Cool.
And they, yeah, let me tell you, they had a really big ship and they shot one day outside of the sea.
Oh my gosh,
And
that's
I
so
can tell you,
cool.
I can tell you the BTS was so. And I
Oh,
asked
yeah.
Nick, let me ask you, how much of this typical vertical trope shit, sorry, is in it? And he said, yeah, no banquet scene. And I said, yeah, check.
Good.
And in that type of genre, kidnapping and robbery made totally sense for the storyline.
Yeah.
But lately, in a lot of the typical vertical, there were every 2 seconds any slaps, any kidnapping, any raping, and the storyline doesn't need it. You know what I mean? So, and the other Pirate One was shot in Vancouver. And I was so happy. This Vancouver Pirate One is on Candy Jar. And Candy Jar bought it. They produced it without having a platform and sold it then to Candy Jar MovePix. MovePix is a new platform. And My Drama bought or did the LA Pirate One. So what do you see? The small platforms. You know what I mean? It's always the smaller platforms that they are willing to take the risk for new storylines. And I'm so badly hoping that they will continue doing this because the bigger platforms have then a bit of problems because it's always the same story. If I will turn on a story on the bigger platforms, actually, I can tell you after, let's say, before even hitting the paywall, how the story will go.
Oh, absolutely. And there are also just trends that happen on these platforms, at least on our end for actors. We'll see the exact same storyline on all of the ones that we're submitting to. Right now, it's Step Brothers. Right now,
Yeah,
that is
then
every.
for a long time it was the sport verticals. The only thing that changed were the sport. Someone it was tennis, then tennis, then it was football, then it was basketball. Then there were a lot of ballet ones. I don't know how many ballet ones. And don't forget the cooking ones. There were so many cooking verticals. I was so, what the heck? What's happening now? And you see, to be honest, I'm happy that this BDSM stuff seems to get a bit more less.
Yes, that's what I'm starting to hope for. I've also turned down a couple of scripts just for that. Just because it's not personally comfortable for me. I'm
Yeah.
totally like, some people like that, and some people are comfortable filming that, and I'm totally like, go you. But for me, I know that I wouldn't be able to portray a character well
Yeah,
if
it's
it was
also,
me.
It's also a thing, this theme you must treat with respect because you cannot
Absolutely.
you can I recorded, for example, with Ryan Larson. He did 2 BDSM and I asked him how he prepared for these roles because he said, yeah, I always want to do it really good when I'm acting. And I said, yeah, but how did you prepare for this BDSM stuff? And he said, listen, to be honest, I got in touch with the Domina, I got in touch, I visited different clubs, and so he was, and you see that exactly in the vertical. That he knows what he was doing, And sometimes in this BDSM verticals, even if I don't do BDSM, I saw exactly they were all not knowing what they are doing on set, so it looks in the end a bit ridiculous. And if you are into BDSM and you are watching that, you say, hey, come on. So that's what I think sometimes it's a bit difficult. It's always the same thing when they are doing cooking verticals, and the p person who should be the chef doesn't use to have a knife. Huh? That is
That's
for
the
me,
thing.
so what?
Yeah,
No?
exactly, 'cause you know exactly what they should be doing.
Yes.
Yeah. I
So
think it's Oh,
yeah,
sorry, go ahead.
no, I think we there are a lot of themes where or which were not handled within us enough respect for me. Okay, a lot of people say, yeah, there is not the time to do such a big preparations, but to be honest, then don't take this type of verticals.
Or get people that know, because I've had it before where There was one project. It required the actor to know sign language. It was like, this character, this vertical, is supposed to know sign language. And I ended up getting the audition. I didn't submit for it, but I got it for my team, and I was like, hey, I don't know sign language, so I probably shouldn't audition for this. And she went and was talking to the production team. My team was talking to their production team, and they were discussing how like the actress might not really need to know, like they were just gonna fake it. And in my head, we ended up just passing on the audition in total, just because I felt wrong about the idea of just making a hand sign and then it not being actual sign language. But some productions are okay with faking it that far. But it's exactly what you were talking about. Like, you're a chef, and so when you see people cooking incorrectly, it takes you out of the story and
Yeah,
it makes
it
you
does.
think lesser of the story and of the platform as a whole. So I truly hope that over time we start to, if there's someone that needs sign language, they know sign language, or if there's someone that needs to have an advanced level of cooking, the
Yeah.
actor knows how to cook. But that's
Yeah.
helpful for the future.
For example, with the sign language one, Samantha Drews did two with sign language and she did it so well. One of my review ladies is having a brother who uses sign language. And so she reviewed that and she said, yeah, this was so well done. And you saw some BTS videos where Samantha was sitting there and learning this
Oh, wow.
properly. And I said, yeah, you saw even in the BTS that she was taking so serious to do this. So as you said, and some, but it's always the same. In some verticals, you see exactly which actor did it just because he needs the money. You know what I mean? It's just a job. And in other verticals, you see who really gets into the role, you know? And yeah, I think all of us have to pay the bills, you know? I totally understand it when you are also taking some kind of roles, which normally you would decline, but you need to do it because of the money, you know?
It's difficult to make a living, especially out in LA. I never shame an actor for taking a job that they need, but yeah, I understand. It's definitely like, ideally we would be, going with people that know the certain skills that are needed for the role, but absolutely, I completely agree. You gotta pay the bills. LA is so expensive, as is New York, and honestly everywhere.
It's everywhere. So, what would be a really dream role for you in a vertical? What would you love to play?
Ooh,
It's going besides the shitty. We are going now to the nicer question.
absolutely. I think when I did that Western vertical with Jennings, my character specifically was like a New York princess. So when I was walking around, I was like, oh my God, I stepped in poop. And, I was very against the Western lifestyle. But I didn't necessarily grow up on a farm, but I grew up in the Midwest in Kansas City. So the idea of being able to play like a Southern, like Western type girl myself, that was more comfortable in that environment would definitely be a dream. And I think I would love to delve more into what I do outside of verticals, which is like psychological thrillers and horrors. I would love to see those genres start coming into the vertical space. Obviously, you can tie in different tropes with like romance and horror, romance and
You
thriller,
can
because
always
I
do a little bit drama and rom-com.
exactly. But doing portraying horror stories and thriller stories has always been something that's very close to my heart. So I would love
Why
to.
horrors? Sorry for asking that.
What'd you say?
Why horrors?
Oh, I think it's something that I've always been drawn to. I don't know. That's a good question.
Do you
I
have a
think
dark side in you?
that maybe a little. I think there's something so fun about horror. And I love that you can bend different genres into horror. There's so many incredible comedies that are also horrors, like It or what is the series called? Scary Movie. Scary Movie series, where it's kind of just making fun of all of the tropes of it. And I think, there's always a romance and a horror. There's always, the teenagers that are in love and then they have to escape the serial killer or something. But I think there's just so much stretching that an actor has to do for horror to be able to portray the comedy, the drama, the fear, the love. I feel like horror is just one of those genres that really encapsulates all of the human emotions. And so I think that would be wonderful to see in the future for a vertical.
What would challenge you in a role?
What would challenge me? I think,
Maybe in a positive way?
yeah, absolutely. I think, something that might be interesting that you were talking about with the part one, the part two, the part three. That's something that I haven't gotten to experience in the vertical world. And I think character development is something that requires a lot from an actor over time. And I think that would be a wonderful challenge to see not only the short progression, because I feel like with verticals, it's very quick. You go from maid to heiress in 20 minutes, or you go from,
True.
yeah, it's a very quick progression. And I think something that is more work but pays off more is seeing the natural progression of a character over time. So someone that maybe, like, instead of just being gifted $1 billion, has to work her way up over time to becoming, someone that works just in a cubicle, to then, becoming a manager and then becoming the VP and then becoming the president or the CEO. So I think that's something that would challenge me that I think I would love to see more in verticals is, and instead of just a feature length, like a movie, episodic, or more of like a TV show element to verticals of having that character progression over time.
I think the serial ones I saw on Candy Jar, there was one with four parts.
Wow.
Hayley Lorelai was the lead in it.
Yeah.
It was called The Arrangement. That was really good going in story. I was first a bit, four serial ones. Isn't the story worn out then? You know what I mean? But the story was so good, but okay, based on book. So
Of
the
course,
story never.
always.
Sometimes you have a story in verticals, 60 episodes, 40 episodes banquet scene with just the one question, is it really him or her or is he a fraud? And that's the whole storyline, you know? So I prefer to watch 45 episodes, stuff like that, and the story slowly develops. But in most verticals, the story falls flat after hitting the paywall. The first 10 episodes are so overloaded and full with all the stuff to get the audience hooked. And then when you hit the paywall, the story falls flat. And in the serial one, you never have the feeling that the story falls flat. It was so good. They were really good. But it was only on Candy Jar so far.
Yeah, I feel like that's at least from what I saw my one day on Candy Jar. From my friend telling me about the storyline, it follows the structure, and my mom's an English teacher, so I'm very well versed in the story, like the progression of what a story should be. But paywall is technically supposed to be like the starting point of the story, and then there's supposed to be the rising action where it gets better and better and better until the climax. So I completely agree with you that some verticals they start up here, but then once they hit that point, it kind of just falls flat and goes downhill. But it's following the exact opposite of what a storyline is supposed to be, with like the rising action, climax, falling action, denouement, all of that.
We will see. So, you shot how many verticals with kids? The one with the twins and Any
Yeah,
else?
honestly, I think that might have been the only one where I had kids in that one. But it was so wonderful to work with kids. I would love to work with kids again. I don't know what happened with my appearance, or maybe just I took a break from verticals, just for I went through a breakup through my own personal things. But when I came back, I started booking high school ones. When I first started verticals, I was being typecast as someone that is older than me, and I got to play a mom. I was playing people that were in their late 20s, and for Jackson, I was able to play a mom. And then when I came back this year, I've been doing strictly high school. So we'll see, hopefully in the
Yeah, there are
future.
young a lot of young adults actually
Yeah.
at the moment with the yeah, but sometimes it's ridiculous, you know, this high school one, sometimes the actors are too old for this high school stuff, and I don't understand why they don't switch it to, let's say, college or university
Yeah.
storylines. What's the difference, you know? But
Absolutely. It's the same
it
thing
would
in the
be a
SAG
bit
world.
more realistic than to see the
Yeah.
people there, you know. No, I was
Absolutely.
asking because of the shooting with the kids, because lately when I started watching Verticals, there okay, Breaking the Ice was a kid in it, but it was already 12 or stuff like that. With this
Sure.
really, let's say, young kids, it came up, I would say, at the beginning of last year, roundabout. And lately there are so many kids in Verticals. And they're getting more and more younger. When I see, for example, Scarlett, what's the second name? I don't know. She's only 4, but she's so professional. When you see them, they are nailing the roles, bang. I was so, what the heck?
It's so incredible to see how professional these kids are on set. I mean, just the one time that I was able to work with Logan and Anastasia, I think were their
Oh, I
names.
recorded with Logan last week.
Did
Logan
you? Oh
Hannigan.
my gosh, I miss Logan. I loved working with him. He was so
I
fun.
spoke to him, yeah, last week. Yeah.
Yeah, he's such a sweetie pie.
But
Aw.
he's so professional.
Yeah, oh my gosh. He knew all of his lines all like every single day. And he would be, we still had fun, of course, but oh, my light is
No
dying. That's
problem.
okay.
No problem.
He knew all of his lines, and we would joke around on set, of course, but when it came time to film, he locked in so quickly. He was on it.
Richard Chara recently shot with Logan, and when I recorded with Logan, he was so professional. And I asked him, "Yeah, Logan, what's your intention in acting? What do you want to reach?" And he said, "Yeah, Michaela, you know, I want to reach the audience at right at the heart so that they forget that I'm acting." And I was so, what the heck, an 8-year-old kid telling you that? You know what I mean?
My heart, yeah.
And then I spoke later with Richard Schara and said, "Richard, listen, Logan told me this." And he said, "Yeah, since I shot with Logan, I have the feeling that he's an adult grown man captured in an 8-year-old body." And I said, "Yeah,
Oh,
he said such wise things." And every vertical I saw with him, he was so bang nailing the role. Holy crap.
He's so intelligent too. I remember on set, he would always be on Duolingo, like learning multiple different languages. So he, even when he wasn't acting, he was still,
He's
working on his
writing his
own.
first vertical at the moment, and it would come
Yes.
to you because it's with zombies.
Oh my gosh, is it really? That's
Yeah,
so cool.
maybe
That's
you should
exactly my
contact
niche.
him.
That's so
Yeah,
good.
it's with zombies, he told me.
That's perfect. I will
Yeah, maybe you
definitely.
should reconnect with your vertical son.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to see the casting call and I'm going to be like, hey, Logan.
It's me again.
That's me again. That's so good. Oh my gosh.
What do you think? What change or improvement does the vertical need? The vertical space?
Ooh,
I
I
mean,
would
when
say.
you said you have been out for a bit and you
Yeah.
came back, what was different? What was maybe not so great that changed, or what has changed and you thought, whoa, that's really good that it's
Yeah.
changed?
I think I'll start with the negative and then go into the
Yeah, that's
positive to
always
end on a
good.
positive note, of
Yeah, that's
course.
good.
I think the biggest change that I've noticed, because I only left for about 6 months, so
Yeah,
it
but
did
it's
take.
in a vertical space
That's
a
true. Yes, an
lot.
exponential changes.
Yes.
I think the biggest change that I've noticed is the fear that actors have surrounding AI.
Yeah.
That has become very scary. I've had a couple of friends who filmed entire verticals and their contract wasn't specific enough to protect them. And so a trailer came out where there was an intimacy scene that they didn't film in the trailer.
Yeah, there were lately a few.
Yeah, and it's so scary to have your likeness used as something that you did not sign off on. It's one thing to have the title changed. It's
Yeah,
another to
absolutely.
have your entire body and face be put out to the world on something that you didn't film. And I think that's something that I've been seeing a lot of with the other women in that group chat. We will send more specific clauses to make sure you put in your contract to make sure that they are not changing what you filmed. They're not using your likeness and deep faking your face onto extra intimacy scenes. I think that's the biggest negative fear that I've seen and that I've also encountered. I used to, be more trusting with contracts and just sign them when I first
Yeah.
started. And now it's gotten to a point where you really have to comb through, or you have to use AI yourself to comb through and make sure they're not putting something
Hidden
that's a
in
little
the
bit sketchy
contract.
in the contract. Just because jargon can be very, difficult to read. I'm not a lawyer. I can play
Yeah.
one, but I certainly don't know all the
Yeah,
jargon
that's
that goes
true,
into
yeah.
it. Yeah. So I think that would be the negative change that I've seen. But I do think the positive change, kind of what you were talking about with smaller platforms with better storylines, but something specific to me that I've actually been talking about with my team is these production companies and these platforms being more open to accepting written work from actors, like Logan writing a script. I know a couple of my friends. I have a friend, her name's Isabel. She works in the vertical space and
Yeah.
she just had a table read for one of the verticals that she wrote. And
Yeah, and also Alexandria Watts, I spoke to, one of her verticals was already filmed.
oh, that's so
And look
cool.
at, for example, Adam Santa Cruz, who wrote Campus Rivals.
Oh my gosh, I heard
Or
so many incredible things about Campus Rivals. I had a
yeah.
couple things on that.
Yeah, so it was also actors written, let's say that way, or what about Love and Blood? You know, which
Yeah.
so these are always storylines where I'm ho so deeply hoping, you know, that there is a platform willing to buy it then when they have to produce it independent. That's always the risk that you cannot sell it. But I think with all the smaller platforms, as we saw lately, they can sell it. And that's why I'm hoping that the bigger platforms get a bit more under pressure that they
Yeah,
have to change.
absolutely. And I think they will eventually, especially because I wasn't a part of those productions, but at least from what I saw from, friends that posted of actors that worked on it, Campus Rivals and Love and Blood did incredible on their platforms that they did, especially Campus Rivals. I was seeing nonstop posts about it from, vertical fan accounts and from the actors and from people that were watching it, that they were in love with it, that it was such an incredible project. So I'm hoping that with more projects that get done like that, the traction that people will see of how much people are loving these types of stories is just going to come into fruition and cause kind of a exponential increase in people wanting to see those types of stories and people making those types of stories.
That's why I was so happy when the Vancouver team started producing this pilot one, because they
Yeah.
started out of the feedback from the audience that they want to have a pilot one. And then Julie Bruins and Stephen Kamara sat down together and said, okay, then we do a pilot one. And
Oh.
they funded it themselves. So they took the financial risk, they took, you know, all the hurdles to do it. But last summer they shot the first 10 episodes and did a trailer out of it to see how how is the reaction? And the reaction was so good in the social media that they said, okay, we have to finish this one. And all the time with the not knowing if any platform will buy it, you know? So
Yeah.
I said to Julie Bruins, we did let's say a promoting episode with the cast. Nick Westaway acted in it, and I said, I can tell you the audience will back you up because that's exactly what we want to see. And now we have to show the platforms that you didn't tell them anything shitty or wrong about it, so that they see, yeah, they were right. The audience wanna have it. So that's why I love to promote this type of new stuff, to see, hey, there is someone willing to take the risk, even on their own financially and stuff like that, because they are all sick of these typical storylines and everyone wants to have a new one. When I spoke, for example, with Nick Ritacco about shooting this pirate vertical in LA, he said, Michaela, it was so good to finally step into a total different role and not doing over and over again the same thing. And I said, yeah, and that's the actors are annoyed and bothered by doing always the same stuff. The audience is bothered by always watching the same stuff. So I decided with Corby Elwood, I will win the lottery, and then we will produce a bunch of our own verticals. Also a serial one with detectives. The two detectives leads are always the same. Yeah, and that's a European shooting tour because Kirby wants to shoot in Europe so badly. So we decided to do six ports in Italy, Turkey, Lithuania, Germany, France, and Scotland. And the two leads are detectives, like, you know, Sherlock Holmes and Miss Marple. And they have to solve in every country criminal cases or something like that.
That's so cool. I love that.
Yeah, and a lot of people I spoke about with, also directors, and said, yeah, I'm in, I'm so in. So yeah, I'm working on winning the lottery. Although here in Germany there is a quiz show where you can win 1 million euro. That would be great for the first two ones.
Yeah, there you go.
So, or I have to find the hidden billionaire. These are actually the three options for getting the funding for these verticals, but
Well,
we're
good thing we
working.
have
Yeah.
options.
No, I think, you know, in that type, we don't need always the billionaire. If you have, for example, like these two detective leads, you can hook so good the audience by, oh, who's the murderer? Yeah, I think he is. You know, in the story, you can hook them so good. And there is not needed that someone is miscarriaging, someone is beaten up till death. You know what I mean?
I mean, some of the most incredible shows just outside of the vertical world don't deal with billionaires or storylines that are that intense. I mean, Sherlock Holmes is like a similar, like where you had the two detectives solving crimes and neither of them are rich and both of them barely have a romantic storyline. I mean, they're there, but exactly what you said, the pull of the story is the crimes and who did it and how are they going to be able to figure it out? And people love seeing that.
And I think the people could better identify with that type of storyline with, than with this fairy tale billionaire, see, you know.
Completely agree. Because that happens more often in real life than
Yeah, that's
banquet
it.
scenes and billionaires
Yeah,
and
that's it. I was wondering why there haven't been so many verticals about, let's say, dating apps. You know what I mean? I think there was just five or whatever, where they were having this online dating platforms as the main trope, because that's a storyline every or a lot of people could identify with. And there you
Absolutely.
don't need also this billionaire stuff. Why the male lead cannot be a, just a color worker, you know?
No, it's true. I mean, that's what happens in real life, and I think these small platforms are starting to do a little bit more of that, and I hope to see more of that in the future.
Me too. Alyssa, at the end of every episode, I'm asking a five question quickie. You love to cook, that's good. So, what's your favorite dish?
Ooh, that is a good question. I
Soul
think,
food. Let's call it soul food.
yeah, my favorite dish to cook or my favorite dish to eat?
You can say both.
Sure. I'd say that my favorite dish to cook is chicken fried rice. I throw in a lot of different vegetables like onions, garlic, bell peppers, scallions, chicken, all that. And then I use seaweed to dip it in and take bites of it. That is something that my dad taught me how to make. Delicious. I love it. And then food, my mom's side of the family is part Italian, so pasta and like any type of pasta dish is just my home, my heart. I love Italian
So
food,
I
so that would
assume
probably.
you can do self-made pasta.
Oh yes, of course. Yeah, I've definitely made the long line of pasta where you flatten it out with the whole thing and then you cut it. Yes, I have.
I have a chicken living in my garden too. So I have even my own eggs to do the own pasta.
Oh, that's
You know, I
incredible.
live in the south of Germany from here, and 4 hours I'm in Italy by
Yeah.
car. Yeah.
Gosh, that's
One and
wonderful.
a half hours flight, and then I'm already in Milano. And
Wow.
we have a lot of Italian restaurant, original Italian restaurants, because in the 60s, a lot of Italian people came over for working here to Germany. So here in the
Yeah.
south, we have a lot of Italian restaurants, and that's a
Oh.
good stuff that we can, that we can. And I lived for 6 months in Milan, and there was an old nonna of a colleague of mine who told me how to make the great carbonara, and you know, on bolognese, the simple stuff, but it's so good. In my cookbook, there's a recipe for lime tagliatelle with broccoli and scampi in it.
Oh, that sounds so
It's so
good.
fresh. It's so fresh, you know, for summer days or hot days, it's so fresh in it. That's so good.
Yeah.
I love this dish. Yeah.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I'll have to try
Yeah, I will after the recording I will show you the cookbook.
it. Yay.
Second question. Do you have a comfort movie or maybe a movie from your childhood you rewatched, let's say, more than 100 times because you really love it?
Yes, absolutely. I would say that my two comfort movies are Matilda and Hoodwinked.
Matilda, Matilda.
Yeah. I read the book Matilda. My mom read the book to me as a kid, and I remember watching the movie and just being so infatuated with it. It was just, I mean, obviously I don't have magic powers, but I felt a very strong connection to Matilda.
And what was the second one?
Hoodwinked. It's an animated movie. It's more comedic and it's very campy in the sense that it's an odd movie. It's a very funny play on Red Riding Hood. But a lot of different things go wrong. Like the wolf is more of like a chill, laid back wolf, and the grandma is actually a badass and she does like skiing competitions. So it's a very campy, experimental version of Red Riding Hood, but I had a lot of fun with that movie growing up and I used to
I
watch it all
think
the
I
time.
haven't seen it.
Yeah, the animation style is so wild. It's not like a lot of different other animated movies, but it's a good time. I loved
Okay.
watching that.
I have to check that out.
Yeah.
Do you have any type of music you love? Do you have some,
Yes,
let's
I
say,
listen. Oh,
chill
sorry, go
out
ahead.
playlists or whatever, or music? You sing along and dance through your apartment, or when you're driving, are you the type of carpool karaoke? Windows down and sing along?
Oh, of course. Yes, absolutely. I think that my main type of music is indie rock, or just like indie pop. So a lot of my favorite artists are Wallows, which is a band. I listen to Dominic Fike, Remy Wolf. I listen to a lot of Olivia Dean recently. But then I have another side of my music taste, which is more like rap. And R&B hip hop. I listen to a lot of Doja Cat and Doechii, for more of like my hype, singing out in the car kind of vibes. And then at my heart, I am a musical theater kid, so I will of course have my moments where I listen to Waitress or Heather's, Into the Woods, stuff like that for when I'm really feeling like belting out songs in the car in the shower.
That's good. I love singing while driving.
It's the best. It's such a great
Yeah, when
feeling.
I recorded with Aidan Foran, I asked him the same, and he said, "Yeah, I only sing in the car when the windows are up."
Yep,
I
I
said,
also do
"Why? Don't
that.
care if someone is hello." No.
That's true. Absolutely.
So, last two questions. If I would come to you and say, "Alyssa, I've never watched any verticals, which one of yours should I definitely watch?"
Ooh, I would say it's got to, I keep going back to the same one. My Billionaire Cowboy's Runaway Bride. I think that one
On
showcases
Viglu, let's say it
on
again,
Big
on
Blue.
Viglu.
On Big Blue, yes. It showcases such a beautiful romantic relationship between two people that are very opposite each other. The woman that I play is not someone who takes shit from anyone. She's very strong. She goes after what she wants, and she finds love with a cowboy, and it's
With a
exciting.
nice Jennings Bauer, let's say it's great.
Yes.
Yeah, we have to say that. So, you said before that you want to have a bit more horror genre in verticals, but which other genres you want to see maybe new or more in the verticals?
Ooh, I think there are a lot of comedies, but I think that the vertical genre very much like bends its way to being an incredible platform for different comedies. I
Yeah.
don't think we see as many comedies as we should.
Yeah.
And the most fun I've had on set for verticals is whenever you do have that big soap opera acting. And it's comedic. It works out so well in the favor of verticals. And I think there's so much undiscovered, beautiful storylines that can be had with comedies. So I think I would love to see more comedy as
Also
well.
a bit parody,
Yeah,
making
absolutely.
fun out of making a vertical or stuff like that.
Yeah, like a satire. Oh my gosh, that would be
Yeah.
incredible. Yeah.
You know, sometimes it's so silly when you know exactly, okay, now he will slap. Why doesn't he slap? Why did he slap? I don't know. He slapped. He
Yeah.
just slapped. It's a vertical. He slapped.
He slaps people. Who knows?
Yeah. We never get the reason why, but it's a, you know, you said before the one with Jennings, it was a bit of Western. I would love to see the classic old Western one with Saloon and you know, burlesque a bit and the sheriff and the duels, and that would make kidnapping also totally sense.
Absolutely, of course. Yeah. That would do really well as a vertical, like having an old Western, like a shootout, guns drawn. That would make so much sense.
And
Yeah, that would
that would also went good in, with the comedy style.
absolutely, of course. The villain in that would be hilarious. I know.
Yeah.
They would be
Have you
so good.
seen the movie Men in Tights?
No, I haven't.
It's a like a parody of making out of Robin Hood. That would make
Ooh.
also so sense. It's a vertical, I can tell
Yeah.
you.
That would be
Yeah.
amazing.
We need stuff like that. I think that would
Yeah.
be great. Yeah, let's see what 2026 has in the but for us. I
Absolutely.
hope for you that you will get offered great roles, maybe also in Europe, and
Thank
get the
you.
possibility to come over to Europe and shoot here.
Yeah.
Because I think, as I said, all the European produced shows, mostly for drama pops, my drama, they are really good in quality. Really,
Yeah.
really good. So,
Thank
yeah,
you.
I
I
wish
hope
you a
so.
lot of great roles. Maybe, let's say, also some challenging roles to improve.
Yeah.
We'll see. And I wish you all the best. And I thank you so much for taking your time to talk to me. It was really a pleasure
Yes.
having you, Alyssa.
Yes, thank
And
you.
I will send you over, or I'll show you in when we stop this now. I will show you my cookbook. Okay.
Please,
And
absolutely. Thank
then.
you so much for having me.
It was really, really nice, and I wish you all the best, Alyssa. Bye!
You, bye.
This is a wrap on this episode, and I hope you tune in again.